1, 2, 3, 4, Medium Talk.
Hi, welcome to another episode of Medium Talk with Rodimus Prime on the Black Autist Premium Network. I am here, as always, talking to someone that I randomly find interesting all over the internet. You guys know my interests do vary. And this lady is someone that we talked about on our regular podcast, covering different articles. I think we cover her under a segment, Effing with Black People, I believe, where we cover different news that has like a racial tinge to it and how aggravated we get from 0 to 100 in intervals of 25. Pretty sure this one made 100. But it's Rhonda A. Lee, the meteorologist who ran into some trouble via her natural hair and Facebook and a weird company policy that she never got to see. Rhonda, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi. Well, thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate it.
No problem. I really appreciate you doing this. And for people that don't know anything about you, can you kind of give them a little bit about your background?
Sure. Well, I'm a meteorologist, as you said, and I live in Shreveport, Louisiana, and I have, I just had a passion for weather my whole life, and so that's what brought me to Louisiana. I've been doing weather for about 5 or 6 years now, I think, but I've been in the news business for over 25 years. I'm not 40, though. I just like to stress that. I'm not quite that old I guess, you know, 40 isn't old to me now, particularly since I'm getting so close to it. But I think that overall I'm known as being, you know, that weather lady with the hair, which is fine because I'm okay with that. But, you know, it's been a wild ride the last few, last year. It's only been about a year and a half or so. And so I really do appreciate you keeping up with me, though. Thank you for that.
No problem. And not to mention, you just finished running a marathon, if I'm correct, right?
Well, it was, it kind of went like this. This was my 2013. I got fired the last week of November, ran a marathon after training for so long, like the second week of December, and then found out I was pregnant in January of last year, and then took some time off and had my little baby in the middle of September, and been kind of running, following him ever since.
Okay. All right. And, you know, it's kind of cool too, because, I got laid off and, I remember when that happened. So we have kind of a kindred spirit. Now, mine was not because of my hair or anything, I don't think, but you know.
Did you ask?
I didn't want to know. I didn't want to. You know what? When you hate a job, it's like a mutual thing where you're like, well, just show me the door and how much severance do I get? Because this is not working out for either one of us. But, you guys can, find Rhonda on, Twitter. She's, at Rhonda_A_Lee. And, she has a Facebook page, meteorologist Rhonda A. Lee. Let's talk about something. First things first, for full disclosure, guys, this is our second round of recording this. What was the impetus that made you realize, like, I want to be a meteorologist?
Oh gosh, when I was a little girl, about 3 years old, my parents, I was born in Plano, Texas, first of all, which is right outside of Dallas. And my parents were being looky-loos after one of Texas's famous tornadoes went through. I want to say it was Amarillo. I was maybe about 2 or 3 years old. And in the back seat of the car, my parents heard a little boy saying, "Look, Mommy, Daddy, tornado, tornado." And I was just pointing at the debris that was hanging from the trees. And, you know, they looked at each other and chuckled and said, "Hey, maybe one day she'll be a weather girl." And turns out they were right. I spent the better part of my entire life calling relatives in far off places. It didn't matter where they were. I would always call them and tell them about the weather. "Hey, it's going to rain at your house in Omaha. We have torrential rains coming at you towards some friends of ours in Maryland." Or I would follow hurricanes in Kansas, of course, and tornadoes were my passion. And I've always kind of been a little meteorologist my whole life.
That's amazing, because I look at your Facebook page and your Twitter page, and you're always constantly, "Hey, look, there's 3 tornadoes in a row. Make sure you guys stay inside." You know, like, it's pretty cool.
I do, even though I'm not on air, but I still give the forecast and updates for the Arklatex here. That's my home, so I'm gonna make sure everybody's safe.
Yeah, the weather's in your blood.
It is.
Now, when you were in school, like, did you take any special courses or any type of curriculum that your parents pushed you towards to be a weather person?
No. Well, here's the thing. My dad wanted me to be a senator or a congressperson and an attorney, because he said, Rhonda, you just talk so damn much all the time. Let's put it to good use and be an attorney. And my mom just wanted me to move out of the house. So that was pretty much all the more ambition my mom had for me, was just get out of the house. I don't care what you do, just get out of the house. But I used to run for student council, that is, when I was a little kid in second grade. I ran unopposed for some position. I can't even begin to tell you what it was. And ever since then, I've been in student politics. I mean, even into college, well into college. Mm-hmm. I did student government at Kansas State University, where I graduated. And I got a degree in journalism, mass communications, and the electronic media, which is not weather, because K-State didn't have a weather department. Mm-hmm. I was always so nervous about wanting to do weather. I never had any black role models, no women on TV that I would follow. So when I would go to internships at TV stations, it was always so difficult for me to stay in that newsroom, though. I'd always go on an internship, and somehow you'd have to find me in the weather office, because that's where my passion was. But to say that there weren't any role models, that kind of held me back. But then 10 years after graduating from K-State, I said, you know, here's what I want to do. I'm going to go ahead and try this weather thing. And lo and behold, I applied to Mississippi State University, and thinking, there's no way I'm going to get in. I actually got in. And so I completed my weather curriculum in 2000. Must have been 2009 now. So it hasn't been terribly long, because, like I said, it took me 10 years to go back to school. So let this be a lesson. It is never too late for you to go back and fulfill your dreams. If that's what you want to do, then just do it.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting, because I think the people who do the news are extremely close to politicians, not in like having stances and stuff, but just in this idea of someone who explains like very complex things that maybe you don't always understand, but it's just a face that you trust, and they come on your TV and they're like, this is the thing that is important right now. And you're like, yeah, that's the thing to look out for.
Yeah, it really does come down to, who do you trust?
Yeah. And then, like, also, like, when you said you went to, like, weather school at Mississippi State, like, what is weather school? Because I feel like on TV, it's so simplified for us, the average viewer, that, you know, it's just a person spewing numbers at you and telling you, like, what, it's going to be hot, pack an umbrella tomorrow, it's going to be raining. Like, it's so simple for us. I think we all just think, oh, you go to weather school and it's like, look outside, it's raining. There you go. Everybody, class is done.
Well, what I always say as far as what my job is, I know the science of forecasting and the science of weather, you know, what's up with the clouds? Where's the sun going to be? Is it going to be hot? That sort of thing. But I always felt that my job is to be a translator. I take all that sciencey stuff, all those models that meteorologists talk about, and put it into plain English, so that you do know, is it going to rain? Is it going to be really hot outside? How long is this heat going to last? Where's our high pressure? Is the hurricane coming our way? So that's what I've always felt the job of a good meteorologist is to know the science as best you can, but to translate it into everyday English. That's a good point.
And the thing is, it's so funny, is like the meteorologist actually like know all the work and know all the science, but then we sitting at home get to be the smart ones and be like, oh, you said it was gonna rain and it didn't even rain.
Well, let me tell you, the accuracy rate of meteorologists has improved vastly over the last 20 to 30 years. Right now, the average accuracy rate is in the 90s. Thanks to technology and thanks to better education. So, all told, most weather people are not nearly as stereotypically wrong as they used to be once upon a time.
Now, have you ever thought about just copying someone else's work? Cause like, if I was the newscaster, I would just like, if the county over was doing the weather, I would just do what they're doing. Like, I'm probably gonna do that.
You can't do that though. Well, I can tell you this. Like, well, what if the next person is wrong? And I will say this there, and I'm not going to disparage any particular meteorologist, but I will tell you this. There have been times when I have seen the competition, and I'm not going to name the city. I'm not going to name anything. I'm just going to say I have seen the competition, and I'm thinking, where in the world did, what did you throw your, throw a dart at a dartboard? I mean, what made you decide that that was going to happen? And it turned out that I was right. I'm not going to like break my arm, pat myself on the back, but I have witnessed times when I would not go with what even people at my own station would say, because wow. It turns out they were wrong, you know? So yeah, there's always the temptation to just go to weather.com or weather.gov and say, I'm going to mail it in today. Who's going to know? But I can honestly say I have not done that. I've done my due diligence, even on my most tired nights. I'm like, all right, Rhonda, you can do this. Just get her done. And,
well, I now kind of want to watch, the weather with you. Cause like, it reminds me, like, I went to a play with my friend, and she's an actress. And so she was like giving me all the like, see, that's a terrible cliche that they do in every play. And oh, wait, they're doing this whole thing. And it's all new. You know, I've been to a play in 20 years, you know, but for her, it's all like old hat, you know, and I feel like if I was watching the weather with you, you would be like, oh, so he's going to really point to that cloud that way. Wow. Okay.
No, yeah. Let me tell you, you do not want to watch the news or the weather with me. It's bad. And I don't know anyone who has ever just sat in a room with me and said, hey, Rhonda, what did you think about blah, blah, blah? Because number one, you don't have to ask because I've probably already volunteered it, whatever information it is. And then secondly, I'm annoying. I'm not even going to lie about it. I'm like, oh, wow. And it's with the news too, because I used to be a reporter before I became a meteorologist, and so I get very hypercritical when I watch the news. Not a good example.
I don't know, man. You say that, but I mean, like, one time, not every time, but just like one time. Just
yeah, get, one good time. Yeah. But after that, you'll be like, you know what? That's good.
Yeah. It's like going to a coach's house and watching the football game with him, and then just, you know, watching, oh God, what are these guys doing? You're like, oh, this is awesome, but I'm never coming down here again. Well, the other thing too, you mentioned you used to be a reporter. Like, what kind of reporting did you do? Were you like the man, woman on the street? Did you have to like go out and on some on location things? Was it just,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's what I did. I was a general assignment reporter. And that's really what, I mean, whatever the news du jour was, I was there on the scene, sometimes live, sometimes not. But I, as I've always said, my real forte has always been with weather. I mean, I can put together a good story. Don't get me wrong, but, I'm a better meteorologist than I am reporter.
Now, is that part of like earning your ropes? Is that, cause to me, it always looks like, and I don't know, cause I'm not in the news, and I'm sure you would know better than I, but it always seems like the people who are on location are like putting in the time to like move into the office. That's just the way I view it. That might not even be close to true. Maybe they have the best jobs, but to me, I'm always like, oh, the guy with the air conditioning and, the you know, his side, that guy's winning, you know. All the other jobs I've ever had, the guy in the AC was the guy I wanted to be, you know. So
yeah, the anchor, the indoor cat, as it were.
Yeah.
Now there are people out there who revel in, you know, getting dirty, and those are the real troopers, you know. They're the one, and it takes all kinds. That's the thing about news, is that it takes all kinds to do it. There are people out there who just can't wait to stand in front of that city hall building and talk about all the madness inside, and they just live for a city council meeting, and they will follow that possible criminal down the street with that camera and that microphone and chase them down and knock on the window and, you know, their car. And I'm not that person. No. I am not she. However, I don't mind wrapping my arms around a light pole in the middle of a hurricane, and some people call me crazy. So, I mean, it really does take off.
Yeah, you know what? That is, to me, equally as crazy as...
It's equally as nutty.
Yeah, following the person out of the building like, sir, did you really kill all those kids? Sir, can I talk to you? You know, like, that person is kind of crazy, but... Yeah, the person that's like vertical or horizontal because the wind
like
is blowing.
Yeah, like a flag.
Yeah. So, but you have, you now, what is your, I guess, what is your worst on air assignment that you had to do, and what is your favorite thing that you had to do?
Gosh, the worst on air. That's a tough one. I never thought about it. It's funny you ask me that. I've never thought, because I generally liked what I've done. I mean, even though I'm really not the reporter type, but I'll tell you what I don't like. I don't like having to be on one story the entire day. Now, I remember at one station where I used to work, I had to cover, even though I was a meteorologist, they once sent me out to cover a tanker spill, and I'm like, I don't know anything about tanker spills, and why am I out here? It was awful. It was first thing in the morning, and I'm not a morning person, even though I love doing morning news. Don't ask me why. I'm not a, hey, good morning, everybody, type of person, but in front of the camera, I do kind of wake up, and I like doing morning shows. So go figure that. It's kind of strange. But yeah, but like on a Saturday, leave me alone. Don't wake me up. I'm tired. But so anyway, so I cover this tanker spill, and it was all day long. At one point, I accidentally fell out of the live truck and injured my knee and had to have physical therapy for 5 months. I mean, it was awful. And I mean, my knee just was out of whack. I don't know what happened. I was just having a really bad day. And so I've sworn myself I will never do this again. Wow. And I ended up doing it again, of course. So, but that's the thing. I don't have a really dreadful worst. Okay. And I guess I should count my blessings. Now, my favorite stories, gosh, I don't even know where to begin with that. I guess going on 2 years ago, I covered Hurricane Isaac on the Louisiana coast. And the reason I got to cover that hurricane was because in May, I said to myself, what are the chances there'll be a hurricane down on the Mississippi and Louisiana coast in the middle of my vacation? Probably zero. Turns out it's 100%. And so on my vacation, I ended up losing vacation time because I had to go to the CNN live truck and do a live interview from somewhere in southern Mississippi and shoot it back to Shreveport, which is in the northwest corner of Louisiana. So my vacation turned into work, but it was great work because it was Rhonda in a hurricane. So I think that's probably one of my favorite times.
Wow. Now, did you ever interview any of those people who are like, I'm not leaving. My granddaddy had this land.
Luckily, no. And I'm not the person to do that because I don't know. I would love to be able to keep my composure, but I'll tell you, that kind of stuff drives me crazy. And I've said this on air before. Mm-hmm. If you are asked to evacuate, get out.
Yeah.
Why are you sitting there? And you know, all this, well, I've weathered the other storms. That's insane. That is nuts. Get out of there. Nothing good is going to happen to you. I'm promising you. And the thing is, think about people in tornadoes. They don't get the luxury of being able to pick up their stuff that they want and leave with it in time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the tornado comes and it goes. I mean, that's what's for people in Nebraska a couple days ago. And you think they would have loved to have had the time to get their favorite picture? Yes, but did they? No. But meanwhile, this Yahoo, and I'm going to call him a Yahoo because I've called him that on air, you know, it's wasting, they're wasting the precious resources of people like firefighters and EMTs and rescue folks.
Right.
Because my theory is if you are crazy enough to stay there, then just stay there. You know, we'll call your next of kin, but don't call us when you need bailing out.
Yeah, sometimes I'll see like the live on the scene person, and it's like, oh, the tidal waves are coming in, and the hurricane is getting closer, and then there'll be like three people with no shirts on, like dancing in the background, like woo! It's like, what is wrong? Don't you see the cameras there? It's probably already too late.
Yeah, well, they see the camera there, and that's why they do that. But I'm a very strong supporter of turn around, don't drown, do not go in rushing water. If you see rushing water, you're driving through it, you know, just don't. Just turn around, because next thing you know, we have to get a helicopter and hoist you off of the roof of your car when you could have just turned around. And that really does put the lives of rescuers in danger.
Yeah.
And I honestly just don't think that that's fair.
I blame movies for that. Cause like movies just have it where it's like, oh no, the bridge is out. We'll just jump it or ride through all the water. We'll be fine. And they always are fine and everything works out. And I'm like, I don't think water is supposed to go in a car like that. I don't think that would work. And I think that's how most Americans find out that it won't work is when they try to drive through it.
Yeah, and then they try to drive through. So please just turn around, don't drown. Because as I said, those rescuers have families too. And sure, it's their job to rescue, but you didn't have to do that, you know. So be fair. That's all I ask.
Do you ever get nervous about making a mistake on the air because it seems like so much is done live or I guess that, first of all, let me ask this question. Is everything as live as it looks? Cause like a lot of stuff makes it onto the news and you'll see these clips on like YouTube and stuff of mistakes that people make. And it's like it aired. So like, is it like 100% live? They don't have time to cover that up.
Well, it is. Now, don't quote me on this, but I'm relatively sure it's against the law to say something is live when it's not.
Okay.
I want to say this. When I say against the law, it's like an FCC violation. Mm. And stations can get their licenses scrutinized for that kind of thing. So if they're saying it's live, then it is live. Now, if something is live to tape, that's different.
Okay. And do you ever worry about making a mistake and it going out live? Because especially now everything goes viral and stuff. Like,
yeah. I mean, I think a mistake was never quite heard around the world like it used to be, you know, before, you know, internet technology and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But, I don't necessarily worry about it because if you really can't worry about it. Otherwise, just, you know, don't be on TV. I try not to make mistakes.
Right,
so,
yeah.
So that it doesn't – I don't want anything I didn't authorize to go viral. So that's my thing. I just try not to make mistakes. And when you do make mistakes, just kind of roll with it and, you know, clear it up, make a joke out of it, and hopefully it won't be so ridiculously egregious that you end up on – was it Tosh.0 or whatever?
Tosh.0, The Soup. Like everybody, everyone's getting all this free content from other people's mistakes. It's like, yes. You know, they should just like, at least, you know, it wouldn't be so bad if they like sent you a check where it's like, you know, you did cuss when you saw that roach on the set, but you know what? Here's $1,000.
I didn't scream like that guy.
Yeah. I always worry about those people. Like, what happens to those people? Like,
well, he's still working. I think his name is, I want to say his name is Andre. I might be wrong, but, I remember Googling him a few years ago. He was still working last I checked. So.
Oh, well, that's not bad. That's good for him.
Yeah. And the guy who said, boom goes the dynamite, he's my personal favorite.
Yeah.
I mean, because I've watched his newscast, just, it was just horrendous. I mean, it was a sinking ship, this poor guy in a small market somewhere. His whole sports cast was just one mistake after another, and then all of a sudden you hear boom goes the dynamite. And I mean, I can't even really say it without laughing because it's just so funny. Well, there you go. He's still working too. So,
well, there you go.
There's room for everyone on television.
And you said growing up, you didn't really have a lot of role models in the weather, like industry, because there weren't a lot of women, not a lot of people of color. What about like Al Roker? Was he around when you were growing up?
I think he was more, I was with more of a Willard Scott. So I think I may have been in college or something when Al Roker came into the scene. But the funny thing is our go-to is Al Roker because that's been the only black person who's done the weather. So, and I think that goes to my point right there was that, you know, the industry itself has been so devout of color for some time. And then we made some strides in the part of the 80s and 90s. And I feel like a lot of my colleagues have left the industry altogether. Wow. They just got tired of trying to get an anchor job or be a news director or make it to where they want it to be. So they just stopped and got out of news. And so there has been a decline, actually, of people of color getting into the industry and staying there, most importantly. I mean, really the getting into isn't so much the problem. It's the keeping us there that's been an issue.
Yeah, that's always – I guess I'm a little bit colorblind to it, or at least I didn't know it was an issue as much across the country because – being in Charlotte, we have such a, you know, high black populace that a lot of our news people are black. So I remember when we first heard your story about, you know, a person writing into the Facebook page of the news station and being like, oh, I don't like that lady's hair. And I remember being like, so? Like, well, why would you even write that? And then I was like, well, then the station would at least like have your back or whatever. And to see that they didn't was kind of like, it was kind of crazy, like unimaginable to me, just because I couldn't imagine it happening here or whatever. And I'm sure it probably could happen here now that it has happened, right? So, but mm-hmm. it was just to me so like out of left field to even think that something like that could happen, you know, because what does it matter, you know?
Well, it's funny to hear you say that, because I really feel that when it comes down to it, the viewers don't mind. I have gotten so little criticism of my hair from viewers. A lot of my criticism has come from potential employers. Mm-hmm. I've been told my hair is too aggressive for Sacramento, whatever that means. And the guy liked the way I did the news. He liked the way I presented the weather. He thought I was top-notch, big market. But, you know, I just don't think Sacramento is ready for your hair. It's just, it's too aggressive.
Wow.
So I often say that if I ever wrote a book, it would be titled Too Aggressive for Sacramento. You know, because that is the story of my hair. And what's so sad about that is that I was told that by a black news director.
Wow.
And I've gotten more criticism from decision makers in the newsroom than I have had viewers, which kind of tells me that I think that a lot of the people making decisions are out of touch when it comes to what their viewers are looking for and what is indeed important to their viewers. So, and I've often also told people that when it comes down to it, you, the viewer, control what's on news. Not anyone else in that station. You, the people who are going to be watching those ads and making those decisions as to what station you're going to watch, you hold the power. You absolutely hold the power at your station. If you don't like it, voice your opinion. Mm. Get a group of people together and fight for what's right. Because when it comes down to it, you see, sometimes our leaders in our newsrooms don't make the best decisions.
Wow. Now, did you feel like not enough people rallied to your aid? Because I know at the time it seemed to be a pretty big story, and it did at least get some national traction, and I saw people writing about it and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like you said, your local viewership probably has the most pull over anybody. And, did you feel like they didn't get not enough people got involved?
I can tell you right now, I have never been more touched than I have been by the people of the Arklatex. Mm. I mean, just brought to tears by viewers. And I think one of my best stories came from a viewer who said, I do not like Rhonda. I don't watch Rhonda, but I'll tell you what that station did to her was wrong, and I can't watch them now. Which I thought, I mean, even though she didn't like me, apparently, and that's fine, because I'm not everybody's cup of tea, and that's just silly to think that you're going to please every viewer.
Yeah.
But the outpouring of support from my local area was just unbelievable. And then to get so much love and support from the rest of the planet, and I mean literally the planet, from Asia to South Africa to Australia. Mm-hmm. I was going to say the only continent I did not hear from was Antarctica, you know, but I mean, little islands out, like, I want to say I got something from the Canary Islands at one point. Just so much support. Right after I got fired, I took a trip that I already planned with my mom to Ireland. And I was at a little get together with some people I didn't know, because I don't know anybody in Ireland. Mm-hmm. And this nice little Irish lady comes up to me and she says, aren't you the lady from America? And I said, yeah. And I thought, well, I'm the only black person probably besides my mom in Ireland. So that's what I thought she meant. But she said, oh my God, I've heard about your story there in America. And it made me very, very sad.
Wow.
And she said, can I give you a hug? And I'm like, of course you can give me a hug, Irish lady. You know, so, so it was just insane to get recognized in a foreign country for what happened.
And maybe,
for whatever reason, it's like my boss is here. It didn't quite click with them right away what they were doing when they terminated me. So
maybe Antarctica didn't know, because the weather's always the same there.
So, but maybe there you go. There you go.
They were like, if we had weather, we'd definitely be up on this story.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Well. Yeah. That's, well, you know, that, like, that does suck and everything, because like, I guess, you know, in trying to search for more work, you kind of found that the industry as a whole, it's not even just that one station or one region, has this issue. Do you feel like any of it's tied to the to race at all?
Well, it's kind of hard for me to just flat out say so. Mm-hmm. But I would venture to say that it has been a little more difficult than I was hoping to land a position. And I think a lot of times it's because news directors or decision makers are a little bit timid about hiring somebody who is now suing another station. I mean, I always kind of laugh at the industry because the same stuff that we would do a story on is happening in our own newsrooms. Cause I mean, if somebody had something terrible had happened to somebody, Eyewitness News team is there to right the wrong, to fix the injustice. But if it's happening in our newsroom, we're probably not going to really do much about it. Yeah. So it's this weird kind of environment that news is. It's honestly probably not too much different from anywhere else. It's unfortunate, but having said that, there are also very good people in newsrooms, great decision makers, folks who could care less what happened to me and my hair, you know, because they think that I do a good job at my job. So like I said before, it takes all kinds, and God bless those people.
Well, you ever think about like calling another news station to do an investigative piece on your news station?
No, I don't. Sorry. No, that has never crossed my mind.
That would be like a snitching in the hood, I guess. It's like, who are these people with these Channel 4 cameras? Don't worry about it.
This is busting in the door. Yeah. Yeah, Channel 12. Yeah, that'd be great.
Now also, you said something earlier, that sometimes people don't like you on the news. Mm-hmm. What does that mean though, Rhonda? Because you're giving the weather. It's not like you're going on the news and you're like, you know, like, oh, I don't like this type of cake. And then someone's like, I love that kind of cake. I hate you, Rhonda. It's like you're just telling them it's going to rain. It's not going to rain. Watch out for thunder and lightning here. And, you know, it might snow. You're not telling people like, what could you possibly do to make someone not like you, Rhonda?
Well, first of all, thank you very much. And second of all, I don't know. I mean, I guess that everybody has a personality that they gravitate towards. There are folks who only want their weather people to just be, you know, upstanding, just straight forecast, don't smile, even if it's a great day kind of folks. And there are people who like their weather people to be more lively, to talk to them, to engage them, to make them feel warm and fuzzy. And then there are people who want a little bit of both. You know, it's like the three bears of anything, you know, too hot, too cold, just right. So, and yeah, you know what am I doing? I don't know. And I'll tell you, but I'm known for kind of doing the forecast a little unconventionally. I really don't stand there and just spout off numbers. Okay. I keep people interested.
Okay. All right. Like throw a couple metaphors in there or something, or?
I've done musical theater once. Okay. I don't really think like play the drums or wear a costume. Oh, wait, I did wear bunny ears on Easter morning. But they were a hit. They were a hit. It's funny, I got more compliments on those bunny ears than I did on my regular outfit for a long, long time. You know, people love those bunny ears. Wow. I don't know what it was about the bunny ears. I keep them in my car now, just in case somebody needs to be cheered up. Maybe break out the bunny ears.
Maybe that person was looking that day and they're like, look at her with them bunny ears.
I don't know. She doesn't take her job seriously. So I would get that a lot. Anytime I tried to be interesting. No, for me, I have to do what I do because I'm in Louisiana where it's either hot or not as hot as yesterday. Mm. And that's like year round. I mean, the temperature does not vary very much. I mean, when it gets below 50 around here, it is just coat weather and people are just, they're not sure what to do with themselves.
Did you ever think about changing your name to a weather person name? Cause I feel like all these weather people around the country have like, it's like Skip Thunder and Channel 5.
I thought about it, you know, like Windy Storm or something like that. But I don't know. That's a little more superhero. Well, I do know of a Windy Nations. That's her name. She's in Memphis. So she has a nice weathery name. But no, not seriously. But I don't know. Maybe if my next baby's a little girl, I'll name her Thora or something. Because, you know, Thunder, Thor, the god of thunder. I don't know. We'll think of something.
Okay. Yeah. It always feels like a little, like we have a guy here and his last name's like Sprinkle. And I'm like, that's no way his name's Sprinkle. Like,
yeah. I know of him. I do.
If his real name is Sprinkle, like his parents are psychic. There's no way You could do that, man. It's too good.
Yeah. There's a guy, I want to say in California, maybe. I don't know. Actually, I haven't Googled him in a while, but his name is Johnny Mountain.
Johnny Mountain.
I believe his first name is, yeah, his first name is Johnny, but his last name is Mountain, and that's his legal name. You know, that's his family name.
I think I would, if I was changing my name, it'd be like Rod Humidity or like, you know.
Precipitation.
Yeah. Hey, it's Rod Precipitation with the gentleman.
It's a real technical vortex.
It's going to be going to be doing a lot of my name today. So guys, pack an umbrella. have you noticed like global warming, like affecting the weather and like, how you report it and stuff, since you kind of have to see it every day? And I'm assuming as part of your job, you track it or see like incremental changes, or is it something where you're more focused on the day to day? So the bigger trends aren't really, you know, something you look at.
Well, there's, I get kind of leery about talking about like global warming as a whole, but it is safe to say that the planet in general is indeed warming up.
Mm-hmm.
And is it affecting the weather? I would have to venture to say yes, at least the data that I have seen. Now, I am no fancy dance scientist. I'm not going to present myself, or climatologist, I should say, and present myself like that. But the reason why we are having some of the variations, it does seem to lean towards at least climate change. Not so much global warming as it were, but more of a climate change. The climate is changing. Mm-hmm. And as Mother Nature tries to keep equilibrium on the planet, the storms seem to be a little more severe because the heat that we get is more severe. So when we have a cold front come through, the extremes meet in the middle, and that's kind of the nutshell version of why we get thunderstorms. We have the warm air that rises and then the cooler air that sinks, and when they meet, they mix it up and try to reach an equilibrium. The Earth is always trying to balance itself.
Mm.
So when you have really hot and then you get really cold, you know, Mother Nature is trying her best to keep us afloat here on our little blue marble. Mm. So that's why we do have a tendency to see such extremes as of late, because of those few degree changes. But if there's, I think it would be kind of preemptive to say that there's going to be some massive meltdown of the ice caps and right. We're all going to fry from Texas to Minnesota. That's a little irresponsible, but I will say that there is a difference in the climate that we as people are going to have to start to adjust to probably sooner versus later.
Is global warming like one of those like hot button words because it has such political meaning that like you can't really talk about it on the air?
Well, it's not a matter of not being able to talk about it. I think it's a matter of talking about it responsibly.
Mm.
And it is unfortunate that it has become such a political, that the science of it has become political. And I mean, you have like good characters like Bill Nye, the science guy, and whoever his right wing Republican nemesis of the week is, you know, trying to counteract everything that Bill Nye, the science guy, has to say. But it is unfortunate that the science of the matter has become more political, so that you're afraid to talk about it for fear of being some tree-hugging hippie weirdo, you know. And that's not the case at all. I mean, if the science is backing up what's going on, then it, to me, that just makes it a little more difficult to argue. But I think now it is unfortunate that just basic things like science have become so political.
I blame that movie The Day After Tomorrow, because weather was happening so fast in there, and I think that's what people think global warming is. It's like, it's gonna be a 35-foot tidal wave, and then right after that, everything's gonna freeze, and then right after that, the sun's gonna melt everything. It's like, well, that's not how it would work, guys. Come on.
Yeah, it's not quite that cut and dry. Yeah. Lucky for us, it's not that cut and dry.
What about things like smog? Because like smog is something that didn't get reported on, I think, when I was growing up. But now there's like all these different levels where it's like, hey, there's an orange alert today. Yeah. So if you have like breathing respiratory diseases or issues, don't go out and stuff.
Well, the thing about smog is that it is actually weather related.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why nowadays we do actually kind of report on smog. It's a 20th century, I guess, would that be 1900s kind of word, but it's the mix of smoke and fog. Mm-hmm. So that's where you get the word smog from. And so it has to do with the pollution that gets caught up in the air and it stays there. And I'd probably have to look up so I don't give you completely wrong information, but what it does is that it traps heat over a city because fog is cloud cover basically. And so you have that pollution forming a thick layer over a city and holding in that city heat. And once it gets trapped, that heat gets trapped, then obviously your temperature within that city or that area does rise it stays in there and causes respiratory issues, and it can cause the temperature to be warmer in some spots than in others. So that's kind of the nutshell version of why we do talk about smog, as it were. And obviously, if you have sensitive breathing issues, you don't want to be out in smoggy, if you will, weather, because you won't be able to breathe as well.
Mm. Yeah, I actually grew up with asthma, and you know, Charlotte is not a huge city, but you know, it's pretty big, pretty good size. And I remember like that I would have different, you know, breathing issues, and the weather was important to that. Like I remember passing out one time because I was right by the street. It was extremely hot, and like, you know, it was just, like, it's just much, much harder to breathe that day than normal. So after that, I was like, yeah, gotta definitely look into these smog alerts. That's what that's for.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is mainly in the summer because, like I said, the smog itself is affected by sunlight, for example. Mm. And it causes that heat, really thick, bad air. I have asthma too. My brother, has asthma. This is probably worse than mine, but at any rate, so that's why it's important to, do pay attention to those ozone alert days. It is real. It is real.
Did you ever get any complaints about interrupting a game or a sporting
event?
Oh,
gosh. Yes. Yeah. Things get really messy when you interrupt NASCAR. In Charlotte, yeah.
Oh, that's, man, yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing. Good Lord, please let it be real. Please let that tornado actually be sweeping away a house. Otherwise, NASCAR fans can be a little rude. I'm just going to leave it at that. They can be a little rude.
Yeah, it's kind of
American Idol at Once Upon a Time. I remember Tornado was somewhere in the Memphis area, and we had to cut into American Idol, and it was, I want to say, maybe in the day that Fantasia was about to get voted off, but or something. Although she ended up winning, but she was on the chopping block, I think. I can't remember all the logistics, I'll be honest. But we ended up doing something crazy, like listening to people call the newsroom and ask, well, can you vote for Fantasia for me? Well, I need to give you we can't see the number because we got that crawl going across the screen talking about that tornado. And so, yeah, you get yelled at. But the important thing, it's life and limb that we're talking about. I mean, I hate to interrupt NASCAR, and I'm so sorry about American Idol, but for me, it comes down to public safety, period, end of discussion. You know, I just have to catch the – go to Hulu or something and catch the highlights. But for me, my job as a meteorologist is to make sure you're safe. And I'd have to say that if you could just be patient with your local meteorologist during those times, believe me, they don't want to interrupt the show any more than you want them to. So if it gets interrupted, it means it's pretty serious, and we have to do it.
Well, the good news about living in Charlotte, well, I don't really watch NASCAR, but if I was not watching NASCAR, the good news is if weather was messing up, then it was already canceling the race anyway. So, you know, because it's so close. You know, it's like, oh no, a tornado. Well, we're not going to risk our $1 million cars. So everyone go back in. Well, now also, you mentioned earlier about living in so many different cities and stuff. Is that because of pursuing things in your field? Do you have to travel a lot to advance in the news field?
Well, you usually do have to travel a lot to get to a bigger market, if that's what you want. And there are really great smaller markets. There, I want to say, are 211. I might be wrong on that, but about 211 different market sizes. New York is number one, and Glendive, California, I believe, is the very, very smallest. So obviously there's all points in between there. Like where I am now in Shreveport is market 80, and sometimes I think it's 81. So we're kind of what's considered a mid-sized market. And Charlotte's a larger market. I can't remember Charlotte's, they might be 20-ish, somewhere in there. I don't know for sure. But at any rate, you know, it's, you know, you do have to travel, and pick up your family, but it's, but that's not why I moved. I moved because my parents both worked for, the federal government. And so my dad was he was an executive with the Internal Revenue Service. And so we moved all over. Most of my moves were as a little kid. I lived in 9 states and 15, I think, different cities. I kind of lost track, but roughly 15 cities. And, so most of my moves were when I was a little kid. So I try to stay stable whenever I can.
Okay. What about, because, you know, when it comes to, you know, working in the industry, there's like so much competition and stuff. Do you, is there like a lot of turnover? Do you see a lot of turnover in the industry?
Yeah, there is a fair amount of turnover. A lot of people, particularly at smaller markets, they decide, you know, I don't like this TV thing. Turns out it's not nearly as fun as, you know, I don't know any other news, I guess Murphy Brown, again, dating myself, it's not nearly as fun as Murphy Brown made it look. So they kind of opt out early on, which I think is wise, because then you have the rest of your life to find out what it is you really want to do. But the turnover rate can be rather high. It's a tough business. I mean, you do have to move a lot. Your social life is compromised. And I'll be honest, it's not for the faint of heart, but it is for the dedicated. And so I think it's important to very much so evaluate what it is you want to do with your life if you want to get into this business, and tell whoever you're with partner-wise to be flexible, because it can get kind of rocky.
Now, other than hair, what kind of things do you think can get someone let go from the news industry?
Aside from their hair.
Yeah.
Any number of things. I mean, just like any other job, I mean, there, when we have a lot of news people have contracts that say that you cannot cause the station undue publicity, I think is how they phrase it. In other words, don't get a DUI and it's all over in the news the next day with other stations, you know, or gossip papers or things like that. So that's very important to keep in mind, that that's one thing you could get fired for. And obviously other federal laws that go along with the job. Payola is something that you can get fired for, and that's like basically a free commercial when your station's not supposed to be doing that kind of thing. It's very it's not terribly complicated, but I encourage you to Google it.
So like if you went on the air and was like, it's going to be raining everywhere except for Walmart, where they have smiles all day.
Low prices every day. And, yeah, something like that. Or, hey, and then the thing is, and then Walmart's like, thank you for the publicity. Here's your $1 million check. That's payola. Yeah, okay. That's what you can't do. Yeah. Hey, did you have a few questions for me? I actually have some
specific questions about the Facebook thing. Can we talk about the Facebook thing?
Sure, a couple of minutes, sure, if you'd like to.
All right, cool. All right, we're going to wrap this up right now. First of all, a viewer, like, wrote into a Facebook page, and they were talking specifically about your hair, and you responded back on Facebook with a comment that we read. I'll post a picture on our website when posted, but I thought it was very polite, honestly. I thought it was informative, and I also thought that a lot of people liked it. When I saw the picture, 75 people liked the comment. But the news station was like, no, we have a policy that you should never respond to any critique or anything like that. From your point of view, like, how did that incident unfold to you? And like, you know, how much are you, do you regret any of it and all that stuff?
Oh, I certainly don't regret any of it at all. I feel there wasn't a policy at the station, which I think has been pretty well publicized. I don't understand exactly what happened, but and that really is the honest, it's a short, simple answer. There was no policy. I had at one point even asked to see it and was told, no, we don't have one. And so I kind of asked them, well, why is it I'm being fired for a policy that doesn't exist? And they said, well, we told you not to do something. And I said, well, when did you do that? Is that in my employment record somewhere? Mm-hmm. And they said, no. So, that is it. That is it in a nutshell. And I will say everything that, or most everything on the internet, it's true. I mean, none of it has ever really been disputed. Mm-hmm. None of it's been, I've never been called some dirty liar. It's all on there. And I think what's there is what happened. And there's really nothing fancy that happened other than that.
And do you feel like that is a thing that keeps you from being hired, or do you think it's simply your hair?
I don't know if it's so much my hair as much anymore. I really feel that a lot of decision makers are probably a little timid about hiring somebody who has sued a station before. Is there, like I was telling you before, when it comes to TV stations and news, the things that we would probably go and report on, we're kind of doing ourselves sometimes. So I don't know what would be preventing me, but I will tell you this, it has not been a bad go of it. I'm sure I really needed the time off to have my baby, to make sure he's healthy and get him the best start I can in life. So the timing, for what it's worth, the timing was not a complete loss. It was not 100% bad thing.
Is there a lot of pressure to be, like, quote unquote, attractive to this general standard of beauty on camera as a weather person?
I don't know. For me, there has never been this undue pressure. Mm-hmm. I think that my pressure has kind of come trying to convince people that my beauty is okay. And yeah. I'll tell you, I've never been told, you know, you just, what if you fixed your face or something like that, you know, or wear better makeup because you have one wonky eye or something like that. That's never been the case. It's always kind of been like, why did you cut your hair? I think for the longest, white people, and I'm just being honest when I say it, white people did not understand my hair. Right. They thought that if I grew it out and it was short, it would just lay there. Whereas no, black hair grows up. It doesn't always grow down. Right. And so I had to say it just like that and explain to them that this is my natural hair. This is what my hair does. And it really, the looks on their faces, it was priceless. I'm not going to even pretend that it wasn't, but yeah, I have had to spend time trying to explain black hair texture to people who wanted to hire me.
So now are you cheering for Lupita like extra, extra hard? Like, look.
Yeah, I cheered for, I guess before that, not Octavia Butler, the actress Davis, Viola Davis. I cheered for her when she showed up with her own hair on her head at the Emmy or the or Academy Awards, I guess now 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. You know, I cheered for her then, and I really feel that my plight has brought some kind of acceptance, and I feel that it's brought awareness to the beauty that black women can have with our own hair on our head that has not been chemically treated or been had a track put to it. So there is a change. There is a tide change, and I really feel that I've been a part of it, and I'm glad to have been so.
Well, I think that, like, first of all, like, what you've done, I think is incredibly brave. And
well, thank you.
You know, like, I know I don't know you, but or anything like that, but just like as a black person, I was so proud of somebody that taking a stand, like, for just, you know, our beauty being beautiful without needing to, like, necessarily adapt or change, you know. And I know that there's a lot of ownership placed on women and their bodies and this idea of, like, everyone owes us to be attractive to the way we feel they should be attractive at all times. And it was kind of really cool to see somebody go, I'll even risk my job for this because it's that important to me. So, you know, I don't know how that makes you feel personally. I don't know what all struggles you had to deal with personally and stuff, but just as a, like, a role model and a hero to certain people, you're definitely one of mine. And I just want to let you know that, you know, there's a ton of people out there that really appreciate the sacrifice and just the fact that you put something on the line.
Well, thank you so much. And I can't stress how grateful I am for the support of so many people of all walks of life. That's also been a very beautiful thing for me. Men, women, cancer patients who said, you know, they were afraid to to expose their bald heads. And, you know, I have hair on my head, of course, but they said, you know, their hair was really short and they were self-conscious. And I gave them the courage to be okay with that. I mean, the support that I got from so many people, from so many places, it still to this day brings a tear to my eye, because I never thought in a million years I would impact other people or I would be an inspiration. And I don't really see myself like that too, but if that's how other people see me, if that's the way we're going to make the world a better place, then I'm glad to have been able to help.
Well, I hope we see you on TV again at some point. And you know, even if you have to go to the interview in like a Scooby-Doo, in like a wig or a disguise, and then like rip it off at the end, like, ah, I told you, see, it's me, I can still do the weather. Yeah.
That'd be great. Just show up to the interview in a trench coat, a floppy hat, and big sunglasses, and see what happens.
Wow, that 1950s spy can really do some weather. Wow, she is really good. Make sure you guys follow her on Twitter. She's at Rhonda_A_Lee. I will have a link to it on the website, and go find her Facebook. Rhonda, meteorologist Rhonda A. Lee on Facebook. I also have a link to that in the show notes. Rhonda, thank you so much for your time.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for having me. It's an honor to talk to you. Thank you so much.
No problem. Ever since we talked about you on the show, I've been curious about this, and it's embarrassing how long I've had your information pegged for someone I want to talk to. And I'm so glad I was able to get it done.
Well, again, thank you.
No problem. People on the Medium Talk premium podcast, thank you so much for being a fan. And we'll be back another time with another interesting person to talk to. Peace.